Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The home team.
And here we go.
The home team is presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris and Jeff for another 2 hours plus 6 minutes tonight. Bulldogs Live with Kirby Smart starts at 7:06. That'll run till 9, and then we'll join the Thursday night NFL game between the Eagles and Giants at 9 o'clock, so it'll be in progress. But that's okay, because you'll get plenty of chances to watch the Eagles and Giants throughout the year. Those are two teams. There's not a shortage of their games on TV or the radio, for that matter.
It's funny, Chris. Just kind of looking through and how times are different with Georgia playing LSU. It's like you were saying, you look at a guy like Greedy Waves, oh gosh, or another great, oh gosh, this guy's only a sophomore. But it's like now, it's like, well, you know, unless we play him in Atlanta next year, it's no big deal if they're coming back or not. You'd almost rather them have guys back, be young, so they might could challenge Alabama next year. Because, you know, the bottom line is we probably won't be going back to Baton Rouge till around 2030. So if they are really good, you know, unless you meet them in Atlanta, and if you make it to the SEC championship game, you know you're going to be playing a great team. It really isn't that big a deal if they do have great young players who are coming back next year. They're not a threat. It's kind of like we said in recruiting. It kind of hit me last year when there was a kid, and it looked like Ohio State and LSU were his two finalists. It might have been that Tyreek Johnson who George was in on too. And there was a part of me saying, even knowing we were going to play LSU in a huge game this year, that I just assumed him go there, because the odds are that you know, after 2018, the odds are actually just as good that we would play Ohio State in a big game as we would LSU.
Yeah, I mean, after Saturday, if you were to ask, like, who will Georgia play more in the next 10 years, Ohio State or LSU? I'd say Ohio State. Or even, I mean, Clemson, we know we're playing them at least once, right? I guess, in a – what is that? That's in Atlanta, a neutral site, but we know we're playing them at least once. But there's a chance we could play them this year too, and then play them again. So, LSU's, what are they, 5-1?
Yeah,
they got a couple of nice wins, but I will continue to maintain that they ain't going to do much under the watch of Ed Orgeron. So yeah. When we play them Saturday, that might be the last time we see them for 6 years when they come back here and play.
So who will be LSU's coach when they come to Athens in, 2024?
Might still be him.
They might keep
going like 8-4, 9-3, but, you know, he's a likable guy.
Go Tigers.
Yeah. And he definitely fits there.
Oh, for sure.
But – I mean, if Nick Saban is going to be hanging on for another 5 or 6 years, I mean, just LSU's not overtaking them. I mean, you know, you still have Auburn that has the, you know, every year or so they just pop up out of nowhere and have a great year. Then you can pretty much book them for underwhelming that following year. But when you don't expect it, all of a sudden Auburn will pop up and do something.
Now you got A&M. We'll see with Jimbo Fisher in the West.
Yeah.
I don't really see Arkansas being a factor. And the bottom line is, too, with the Mississippi schools. And listen, hey, that first year of the playoff in 2014, both were in the top five at one point. Mississippi State was the first number one. If there was just one school in Mississippi, they could be every bit as good as Georgia, Alabama, LSU. But there's not. And the population of that state, it's hard for them because they've both got good programs. It's just hard for one of them to separate and be a consistent contender.
Yeah. You think they could talk them into joining forces?
I mean, they'd be as good as anybody.
Yeah. They're just too heated a rival, though. I don't think you could convince them to, you know, hey, why don't we just play with each other instead of against each other?
But then
we wouldn't have the Egg Bowl anymore, though, so that'd be too bad.
Which does come out in one of the great ESPN commercials ever. When it had the guy in the Michigan jersey or sweatshirt and the girl in the Ohio State sweater, and they were kissing, And it said, if it weren't for sports, this wouldn't be gross.
Yeah, that was a good one. All right, let's jump into today's 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Georgia at LSU coming up on Saturday. And for the Dogs, Jeff, where do you find, what are the biggest edges in this game for Georgia as they hit the road to a hostile environment?
I think quarterback play is at the top. Both teams are deep. Both teams are talented. I think Georgia might be a shade deeper. I don't know how much that's going to come into play Saturday, you know, beyond the fact that Georgia has been able to deal with these injuries on the offensive line and still put out a good line. Granted, it might not be as good. And is the good players that LSU has on offense, I'm not selling them short. Those receivers are really good. But just look at it, you know, guys like Swift and the tight ends, Nowden, Werner, I think Georgia at the skill positions is a little bit more elite, and now getting Godwin back. But if I just had to go with one thing, and I've got all the respect in the world for Joe Burrow, I think he's a good quarterback, and he has been exactly what LSU needed, just solid at quarterback. I do think Georgia's better at quarterback. I think that's the biggest edge.
Oh, yeah, I mean, way better at quarterback. I mean, even our backup quarterback is way better than – their starting quarterback.
Both teams are really good on special teams. Tracy has been a huge addition. You talk about transfers. Hey, where would they be without Burrow and Tracy right now?
Yeah, that's, and I mean, that'll be one area too. I mean, I guess their special teams have been slightly better than Georgia's. I mean, Georgia's special teams are fine, but you know, it's definitely contributed to their opponent's average starting field position. I think is the fifth worst in the country. And the Dogs' offense has started a lot of long drives, and you've been able to put together long drives against defenses, though, that aren't anywhere near as good as LSU. So, I mean, Georgia's going to have to hit some big plays and try and, you know, prevent LSU from pinning them deep, which LSU's been good at. But, I mean, I think the biggest difference in the game, though, I think Georgia's defense against their offense is the, when you're just looking at the matchups between the units, is the biggest advantage there.
If you
our offense against their defense is a little bit of a closer matchup, but our defense is much better than their offense is.
So if the two special teams were, you know, close to being a wash, even if you wanted to give LSU a bit of an edge, because Georgia does have a freshman punter, and that's another thing. Like when Georgia has to punt, that's where, I mean, that atmosphere, I'm sure they're going to come after him a time or two and try and rattle him. So even if you wanted to give LSU an edge here, the Georgia special teams has been outstanding. If you were ranking the units, would the LSU offense be fourth, if you're talking offenses and defenses, between Georgia and LSU?
Yeah, it would be Georgia's offense, LSU's defense, Georgia's defense, and then LSU's offense.
Is there a – is the biggest gap between those four between 3 and 4?
Yeah, between Georgia's defense and LSU's offense. And the only reason I give the LSU's defense, I give the slight nod to because they've played Miami on a neutral. They've played Auburn on the road, although Auburn's offense is not good. And then they've also played
Ole Miss.
They've played Florida on the road too. Yeah. And they've played an excellent offense in Ole Miss. And so when you adjust it for their schedule, I'd give them just the slight nod there.
And I think, too, whereas, you know, Georgia's got one, you know, surefire All-American candidate in DeAndre Baker, I think LSU's got two. And, again, with Devin White there at linebacker.
Yeah. I mean, they've got White, and I mean, the two All-SEC cornerbacks are in this game, though, with DeAndre Baker and Greedy Williams being the two guys. Yeah, I mean, it's gotten to the point now with Baker where you show up on Monday and you realize, like, yeah, I didn't really, like, notice him play on Saturday. And that's just because he ain't getting a lot of balls thrown in his direction. And it's best not to throw. I mean, Williams has allowed 10 completions and 28 throws his way this year. That's it. And he's picked off two passes, too. So, I mean, George would be wise to not look his direction Saturday either.
Yeah, he's really, really, really good. I do think this is a type of game, too. And we'll say the same thing for Florida in 2 weeks. The team that runs the ball better on Saturday will probably win.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's a case of the team that's running the ball well is running the ball well because they're winning.
Yes, and you do a little whoop, whoop, whoop,
yeah,
little play
maybe
action.
Maybe throw a little play action in there, and yeah, you know, that's where the – The signs of real life out of DeAndre Swift last weekend came at a perfect time for him to get back to averaging over 7 yards a carry. That came in handy with these next 4 games looming for Georgia.
Yes, sir.
All right, moving on. The Falcons host the Bucs on Sunday, Jeff. The question is simple when it comes to Atlanta right now. Are they going to win?
They should. But, yeah, they are just a beaten up team.
This game reeks to me just like the Saints and the Bengals games, where it's going to be a shootout and a track meet. It might be the last team that has the ball wins, and unfortunately in both of those games it wasn't the Falcons.
Well, Atlanta had it last in the regulation.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I guess they got the ball back with about 5 or 6 seconds left against the Bengals, but
yeah,
the Saints they were the only team that touched the ball in overtime.
Yeah, that was I mean, to me, that Bengals game was – that lost the season. It was exactly like that Jets game. That had to be in 2013. When they'd gotten off to the slow start, it's like, well, surely they'll win this Monday night game and get their feet back under them. Nope. And, I mean, Jarrett being out, Deion Jones, both safeties, Neal's been so good. They're just – you know, and again, that next man up, there's not a comparable, you know, Cade Mays type talent roaming around.
Well, and I mentioned Tuesday we were doing our NFL top five, bottom five. The Bucs are fascinating because they're averaging 7 yards a play on offense, which is the second best number in the NFL behind the Rams. But they're also giving up 7 yards a play on defense. So, you know, that's where this is a game that smells like neither team will be able to stop the other one. But what I worry about with Atlanta's offense and the Eagles game and then last week against Pittsburgh, where you got a team with a good defensive line, Atlanta's offense has been so good since that game against Philadelphia. Well, and then last week against the Falcons offense wasn't great, but Atlanta's offensive line has been bad this year. And, you know, the Eagles front was getting to Matt Ryan all night. And, you know, last week there were a couple of plays where Cameron Hayward just basically, I mean, he bum rushed Alex Mack right back into Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan just had no time to throw. And now you got, you know, that's one thing, as bad as Tampa's defense has been, they do have a good defensive front.
They do. And they bolstered it in the draft this year.
I hate to say it, but I don't think the Falcons are winning. I think the season is they're circling the drain, and they just get flushed Sunday.
So they would be, oh boy, losing another division game at home.
Yeah, and then fall to 1-5.
Yeah.
I don't have a good feeling about Atlanta.
I mean, they're pretty much dead because New Orleans and Carolina are both just once beat.
Right. I mean, Atlanta feels like they're kind of in that classic spot of, like, they're the team that – really needs to win because they're at home, and you know what you always say about that, like, just when they need to win, no they don't.
Well, here's the thing too for Atlanta, I if they knew that, say, in the next week or two that Jones, Neal, you know, I guess Jarrett could be back next week, if they were getting those guys back, and then it's like, all right, let's just pull this out. We can win without those guys here. And then when those guys get back, we can make a run. But, you know, when's Deion Jones going to come back? Week 11, something like that? Who knows? You know, both safeties are out the rest of the way. So there's really no help in sight. And, again, there's not a comparable, you know, when Georgia was able to slide Cade Mays in, when Thomas went down, then when Cleveland went down, there's not a comparable Cade Mays caliber player floating around the NFL. And there's not a five-star sitting there as a backup on somebody's roster.
I mean, you're stuck with what you've got pretty much. And I know, I mean, Atlanta, they keep saying that, you know, they're hoping for good news for Grady Jarrett this week, but I mean, he's not really practicing, so.
I mean, you hit it before the season. Biggest concern with the Falcons, defensive depth.
Yeah. You never think that they'd have to lean on as much depth as they've had to, but I mean, between Jarrett and Neal, and then Jarrett Jones, and then both of their safeties.
Well, you
that's
kinda,
right there at the heart of the defense.
It just reminded me too when Neal got hurt on that Thursday night game against Philadelphia in the opener. It took me back to the year after they went the Super Bowl, so that would have been the 98 season, the next season, when Jamal Anderson injured his knee in the first game of the year at Dallas. It's like, oh, all right, well.
Here we go.
That's not good.
But you say you think they're going to rally and beat the Bucs.
They should. Tampa's terrible on defense too. Can you get a 2-for-9 if a team does that?
Well, it's
winning.
Like it's that. I guess the trouble for Atlanta it is. It's one of those crapshoot games where both teams are bad on defense. So if it's one of those track meets where neither one can stop the other one, it is just, I don't know who's going to have the ball last.
I think the big thing that's come out of the Falcons is, I guess he had words around it. But the 2-3-4 words that Arthur Blank said about, like, no excuses, he's not letting these injuries factor in. I mean, I know the guy was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I get it. I'm not sitting here saying he should be fired, although I would have after the year before when they kicked that field goal against the 49ers. But, I mean, if the Falcons wind up having a bad year, they could make a coaching change.
I mean, they might. I guess that wasn't a vote of confidence there.
No, it wasn't.
What's tough with Quinn is they brought him in from Seattle with that blueprint of that Legion of Boom defense, and that's exactly what they had built, and they got injured.
I know.
But, I mean, the Falcons' defense had turned into – you look at the last six games of last year, and, I mean, they did fine against the Eagles in the first game of the season. It was just the offense that was laying an egg in that one. The Falcons' defense had – it had arrived, and now it is gone.
But it's not one of those deals where he came out and said, like, hey, you know, we're the only NFC team that's been in the playoffs the last 2 years. We were a couple of years removed from the Super Bowl. We've got a bright future. Ryan and Julio are in their prime. We've got a good young defense. Unfortunately, they're all injured. So even if we don't have a great year this year, we expect to be back in the picture next year. It was I don't want to hear any excuses this year.
Well, that's the case for is, well, there's – the team got ravaged by injuries, but the case against is even with all the injuries, Atlanta's defense really isn't that much worse than New Orleans' defense, and the Saints are 4-1.
And in the end, you got to make plays. And I'll just tell you, Trufant dropping that interception against Cincinnati was an absolute killer. And the week before, so Matt Ryan's terrific. I mean, is he the greatest Falcon ever? You could certainly make that case. But he's not as good as Drew Brees. And they had the ball 37-37 with time and timeouts. And they've got a great kicker in Matt Bryant. And they didn't give themselves a chance to win the game against a poor New Orleans defense.
Right. No, I mean, but the Saints are what Brees is doing this year. It's ridiculous. And they're scoring on 54% of their drives.
I mean,
That's
Brees
absurd.
40 now? Is he 39?
I think he's 39.
And Brady's 41?
Yeah.
I mean, did you ever think – I mean, thinking back to when we were kids – you'd see two quarterbacks at that age putting up the kind of production those two guys
No,
have?
I mean, I go back and look at – you look at football cards or baseball cards and look at the way those guys looked, and then you realize, like, at the time that picture was taken, you know, that guy was, like, 30 or 31 years old,
right.
And they looked like they were 50.
Oh, Bradshaw?
Yeah. So, no, I mean, if you look at, like, Drew Brees and Tom Brady, I mean, Tom Brady's 41. If you didn't know that, you'd say, like, hey, what is he, like, early, mid-30s maybe?
I can remember I had a football card, Greg Landry, the old Lions quarterback. He had the white hair. It's like, oh, my God, who's this old man playing quarterback?
Well, we used to have that one in here that – is it still hanging up over there? The dude,
no.
He punted for Georgia and then punted for
Bobby
the Steelers.
Yeah.
Bobby Walden.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like he was in his 60s.
And that he was an All-American at Georgia in 59, and he was a Steelers punter for their first Super Bowl win in 74.
Right. Well, we had his football card in here, and it's like
– looked old.
But he was like 30 years old or something on the
he
card.
He was probably 35. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
he looked like he was like 60.
He did.
Moving on to the 5-at-5. All right, we'll stick with the NFL. Let's say we're doing Survivor, Jeff. Who is the shoe-in of the week?
That's a big shoe. Hang on. Let me pull up a schedule real quick.
I mean, hard not to look at Monday night with the Packers at home against the Niners, but
I don't trust Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, I don't trust the Packers other than Aaron Rodgers.
Philly, Wentz still isn't there yet. No go Arizona, Minnesota, no Chargers. No, because the Bears are on the road. No Washington, Carolina. God, not the Jets. Atlanta, no. Seattle at Oakland, no. Buffalo at Houston, no. Rams at Denver, no.
It's a tough week. It's a tough week.
Jacksonville at Dallas. Jacksonville let me down last week. Not Baltimore at Tennessee. The Pats. Yeah, you probably would have to go Green Bay on Monday night.
What about the Oilers at home against Buffalo?
Well, I was just thinking about, Joe Ferguson and Dan Pastorini. So, Yeah, the Oilers and Buffalo, Houston.
God, trouble there is, I mean, Buffalo did win at Minnesota.
I know. Listen, Houston, why can't they be called the Oilers and use those old uniforms?
I don't know. I kind of like the Vikings, though, at home against Arizona. So the Cardinals are coming off a win at the Niners, but that's still Josh Rosen.
That's also one of your dreaded double-digit lines there.
I know. Well, could the Vikings lose at home twice in a season to a rookie quarterback? Because Josh Allen already got him.
That'd be a bad loss.
Yeah, because that was a big win last week at Philadelphia. Now they're going to – you know, it's like they broke serve. Now they got to
– They need to –
Yeah, they got to consolidate the break.
I'm telling you, Houston, my AFC Super Bowl pick, back-to-back OT wins. I mean, if they beat Buffalo, they go from that start to being 500.
They're back to 3-3.
And that division is –
That's what you mean. You got to take them? Are they the shoe-in of the week?
Watson's pretty beaten up right now, you know. Oh, God, the shoe-in of the week. I got to go with that bonehead Mike McCarthy, who's only been to one Super Bowl, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Yeah, Lambeau Field on a Monday night with C.J. Beathard.
That is not Joe Montana. That is not Steve Young or John Brody back
yeah,
there.
That's Aaron Rodgers against C.J. Beathard. Rodgers should win that game.
Or Mike – I can't believe they had the chance to get rid of him, and they didn't.
Oh, years ago.
And they, I mean, last year. Yeah, sorry, Aaron Rodgers was out. That just proved you're a lousy coach.
Well, the Packers should wish Mr. Blank was their owner then, because he wouldn't have put up with that.
No.
Yeah, he's no excuse, not tolerating any excuses.
I'm just telling you, that did not bode well for long sleeve shirt under short sleeve shirt. Speaking of, when are you getting your hair done again so you can pass that along?
I don't know. I'll have to look at. I got my schedule at home.
Because I've got. I like
pass
that
along for you.
The backwards hat thing. I hope that's gone for good.
Right. Well, I'll definitely be sure to get word back somehow.
I mean, come on. Maybe I'm the only person that bugs. I just think it looks ridiculous.
It doesn't bug me as much. The backward hat thing.
Oh, that really bugs
me.
That's
a no play for me. And you've seen, I mean, you could tell, like, somebody talked to Matt Patricia because he wore that Sunday night game against New England. He was wearing his hat forward.
Yeah.
His beard looked maintained. He still had the pencil, but, you know, everything else was good.
Because in that first game, who blew him out? The Jets? I've never seen a head coach like that disheveled.
No, he just looked sloppy, and he looked like he was still a defensive coordinator, and he's not that anymore.
Yeah, or, I mean, he looked like, as you would say, a bouncer from the Bada Bing, or, you know, a cab driver who just got off work.
Yeah.
And
he looked like a bum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if he walked out of the stadium and had thrown him like a, you know, a buck or two.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm the head coach of the Lions.
Oh, really? Jeez.
Oh, okay.
Well, you need to.
So you got a buck or two I can borrow then?
Yeah, you don't look right, man.
Yeah, because I just lost money betting on you to beat the Jets, and you did not. I mean, you lost by 31.
He had that pullover, the backwards hat, the pencil with the laminated card. That was just bad look. But you definitely got the word to Sarkisian. I like that.
Finally, Jeff, a bit of a curveball here, because I'm going to ask you something about college basketball. There is a report that the ACC has told several of its teams not to schedule any games on the first 2 days of the 2019-2020 season, because the ACC is planning on having conference games.
What?
Those first two games of the season, Jeff.
Like
good idea.
November of 19?
November 5th and November 6th. Those would be the first 2 days of the year 2019-2020 college basketball season. The ACC apparently has told some of its schools not to schedule any games because you might have conference games that day. Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
Thumbs down. Awful
idea.
You
like it?
Conference starts after January 1st. That's when you should play your league games. Don't like it. Still football season. Come
it
on.
Is.
It's football season.
Not everywhere, though. They got a lot of basketball schools
I get
in that
it.
League.
It's still football season. That's a bad. And the fact that the league is encouraging that.
Encouraging it. The report is they've flat out told them not to do it.
I'm just telling you, the football coaches in that conference will not be happy with that.
I guess they're expanding their number of conference basketball games next year from 20 to 18. So that might be part of the reason, too, if they're playing two extra games. Tack them on and get the, you know, start the year with a big conference game instead of, like, you know, whoever they bring in.
So they're playing, they'll play 20 now. ACC's got 14 teams.
Yeah, and they're playing 18. So they're going to expand. Expansion.
So if they played all the teams in the division home and away, that's 12. And then another 7 would give them 19. So they must have a crossover. They're going to play twice. That way they can get Carolina and NC State play twice.
What if they open up with Duke and North Carolina? Mm. Just get the season cranked up right there. Like both of those are basketball schools. They wouldn't mind.
It's football season.
Syracuse.
Don't like it. Hopefully they at least won't play on Saturdays.
November, usually the season opens on a Friday and Saturday, doesn't it? What is November 9th and 10th next year? I would guess that's a Friday and a Saturday, isn't it?
Well, what is it this year?
November 9th and 10th?
Yeah.
Those are Fridays. That's a Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be a weekend then.
Yeah.
Or maybe a Thursday, Friday.
Oh, wait, sorry, November 5th and 6th, which would be still, I think, a Friday and a Saturday, right?
Yeah, because what this year we're 4th, 11th,
yeah.
18th, and 25th. Is that right?
Yeah, because the 5th and 6th this year of November are a Monday and a Tuesday.
Right. No, so we're the 3rd, the 10th, the 17th, and the 24th this year.
Right.
So, yeah, they'll probably play on a Friday night before a football game.
All right, that's the 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. We'll break. Will they expand it? And now there's going to be more conference games. Although I wish football conferences would play more conference games. And you wouldn't go to like LSU every 50 years.
Well, we've got the plan we came up with, the 9-game schedule.
Yeah.
Do away with the divisions. The way we set it up, you play everybody in the league twice over a 4-year period, and over a 2-year period, you play everybody in the conference.
Now, that's a conference.
You got that.
Here we
right.
are sitting here thinking, though, Georgia might play Ohio State more in the next, like, 6 years, and they will LSU after Saturday.
College hoops shouldn't start till after the regular season's done in football, the first Monday in December.
All right, the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.